Begin the current daf, Masechta Avodah Zara, daf mem. Begin three lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is, we had in the last two Mishnayos a contrast regarding items that are bought from a non-Jew, if they're permitted to be eaten or not. The previous Mishnah had said that Taras Trufa, if these types of fish that were chopped into small pieces, you can't clearly identify if it's all kosher or not, you can't eat it. However, our Mishnah said Taras She'ena Trufa, if it's not chopped up that small, which a Braisa had clarified what is that, that's if the head of the fish and its spinal cord are recognizable, where that's a differentiation between kosher and non-kosher fish, where the kosher fish, the non-kosher ones, their heads are pointy and they don't have the spinal cord, so then you can tell if it's kosher or not, then that's something that could be eaten. Now, Idma, we learned it's actually Machlik Samaram to qualify that qualification of the Braisa regarding that you have to be able to recognize the head and the spinal cord between two Amiram. Idma Rav Hunam, he says, Achete Reish Vishedrinikar. Yeah, you have to be able to recognize both. The Vav means the head and the spinal cord have to be recognizable. In contrast, of Nachman, he says, Oy Reish Oyshedr. The Vav is an or. Either the head or the spinal cord, either one of those would be an identifying feature that this is a kosher fish and can be eaten, and not that it's part of a non-kosher fish. Now, on both of their interpretations, Masav Rav Ukva Bar Cham, he asks from the Mishnah, Masechet Chulin Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, a bedagim, the identifying feature of a kosher sign of a fish, is kol sheishli snapper v'kaskas, if it has scales and fins. So you see that there are no other identifying kosher signs, which is difficult on both of these Amiram. They're saying either the head and the spinal cord, or either one, but we see that it's neither. We see that it's scales and fins. On that Amabai, he answers, Kitanya hi, when did we learn that Mishnah over there? That was Ba'ara uflamuda. These types of fish, the Dama Reishayu L'tmeim, their heads are similar to non-kosher fish. Generally, like in the case of Taras, the kosher fish have different heads and spinal cords. So yes, you could either use both or one of those, according to either one of those in Miram, to identify that it's kosher. When did we say that it has to be only scales or fins? That is by those types of fish which have similar heads to non-kosher fish. The only way you could clearly identify is with scales and fins. That's a clear contrast between kosher and non-kosher fish. Now, Amrav Yehuda Mishmei De'uli qualifies and he says, Machlekes Rav Huna and Rav Nachman was only L'tavel B'tzirin. It was only regarding dipping into the juices that come out of the Taras fish. And there was the Machlekes, when you want to use that tzir, that juice, that the brine, that you have to be able to tell, is it both the head and the spine, or either one of them. But to eat the actual fish of the Taras itself, says Rav Yehud, the name of Ula, Divra Kalasa. There, everyone agree that it's forbidden, Ache Reish Vishadrinikr, until it's recognizable both the head and the spinal cord, where then you have a clear definition, only then can you eat the fish itself. Now, based on this, Amr Bzeri says, Mireish have Matvilna Bitsirin. Originally, I would dip into the brine of this Taras fish with one identifying feature, when it had either the head that looked clearly kosher or the spinal cord. Now, the reason for that is because he says, I thought that when was the Machlekes Rav Huna Rav Nachman, that was to eat the fish itself. But the brine, even Rav Huna agreed. So therefore, I thought for sure it's good enough with one of the identifying features. But once I heard that he qualified and said that the whole Machlekes is L'tavel B'tzirin, no, their Machlekes is to dip into their brine. But to eat the body itself. The Elvin holds it forbidden until you can recognize both the head and the spinal cord. So therefore, even in the brine, I don't dip until I have both identifying the head and the spine, because I hold the Rav Huna, who's stringent and holds you need both, and that's even by the tzir, not just by the body itself. Amra Papa, he says, Hilchas Halacha is, Achehe Reish Veshedri Nikr. It's that you have to recognize the spine and the head, shel kol achas va'achas, of every single piece. So it's both, and you have to recognize in each one that it has the head and the spinal cord. Only then can you eat it. That's Taras She'ena Trufa, because if it's cut up so much smaller that you can't tell, then maybe one of those pieces are non-kosher and you can't eat the whole thing. Now, Meisvei, the Gemara asks, however, from the following brace. It says, Chaticha She'esh Bem Simen. There's a bunch of pieces that there is an identifying feature that it's kosher. Bein Bekulon, Bein Miktsasin, and whether that sign is on all the pieces or only some of the pieces. Even if it's only one out of 100 of those pieces, you could tell that that's a kosher piece. So then all the pieces are kosher. There was actually an incident with a non-Jew. He brought a barrel full of pieces of fish. V'nimtza siman v'achas men, and the identifying feature was found on one of them. V'hitter Reb Shimon Gamliel said garv kula, and Reb Shimon Gamliel permitted the whole entire barrel. So you see, an allegory of Papa, that you don't need the identifying feature on every single piece. It's enough as long as one of the pieces, you can tell that everything is kosher. Tirgum Reb Papa, Reb Papa interpreted this price that it doesn't contradict him, kishachaticha shavais. There it's talking about where the pieces are equal in the sense of that if you would put all the pieces together, they would connect and you'll be able to realize that it's all from one fish. So if you put it together like a puzzle, then, if one of them has the identifying features, then you know the whole thing is kosher. But he was talking about when you can't tell. And then therefore, maybe if you can't tell on every single one, maybe one of the pieces are non-kosher. So then the Gemara asks, Ihachim ala member. But if that's the case, that you could put it together like a puzzle and you see that it fits a fish, then what's the chiddush in the brisa? Of course they're all going to be kosher. Says the Gemara, Ma'adu teima nechash dima isra'ami. No, maybe you should be concerned that maybe it just happens to be that actually a non-kosher piece of a fish fell in, which happens to fit the puzzle of all the other pieces, which then fit into that kosher fish, and maybe but one of the pieces are non-kosher. Kamash Bulan, that's the chiddush, said, no, we don't suspect that, and therefore it's going to be kosher. But again, that's only if they fit. In contrast, Rav Papa was told, when you can't tell if they fit, then you have to know the identifying feature on every single piece. The Gemara brings a story related to this halacha. There was a shipload of the tzachanta that came to this place Sichra. Nafig Rav Huna Bar Chinas. Rav Huna Bar Chinas went out to see this boatload of this fish tzachanta. And he saw that it had scales, and he permitted. Now Amali Rava said to him, is there anyone that would permit in such a situation? But Asr Deshchichi Kalfi, in the place where it's normal to find scales, where he was telling him that, how do you know that the tzachanta and all the fish over there are kosher? Maybe there's both kosher and non-kosher fish, and the scales are from the kosher fish. How can you say you see some scales? The whole boatload is kosher. How do you know? Maybe it's only from the kosher. Maybe there's non-kosher fish there too. So nafik shipur de Rav Avasa. So the ones who made the announcements for Rav went out and said, the Rav said that it's forbidden. Now shipur de Rav Machinne Vashari. But the announcers of Rav Machinne, who he said that it's permitted, they came out and they made announcements that it's permitted. Now, Amr Bimri Medifti says, Lididi, Amali Rav Papi says, to me was told from Rav Papi that Kisha Rav Huna Bar Chinna, when did Rav Huna Bar Chinna permit from that boatload because he saw the scales? That was only Bitsiran. That was from the brine that comes from the fish. But the fish themselves he didn't permit just because he saw some scales in the boat. Now, Amr Vashi, he disagrees. He says, no, Lididi Amali Rav Papa, Rav Papa told me, Kisha Rav Huna Bar Chinna, when Rav Huna Bar Chinna permit in that story, afilu b'gufan, even in the fish itself. But, says Rav Ashi, v'ano loy mesa asrina. Now, I, therefore, cannot make the fish itself to be forbidden from being eaten, because ultimately there were scales that were found on the ship, because the Kamali Rav Papa, like Rav Papa told me, Rav Huna said that it's permitted, and he said even the fish itself is permitted. So I can't say it's forbidden. But v'loy mesa asrina, but neither could I say it's permitted. The ha'amar Rav Yehuda Mishmei Ula, which we quoted before, Machlekis L'Tavel B'Tzirin. The whole Machlekis we had from Rav Huna and Rav Nachman is only to dip into the brine of Baguf and Dibra Kol, Achei Resh V'Shedr Nikash Kol Echa V'Echad. But to eat the fish itself, there he said you have to have the identifying features in every single piece. So if you find some scales in the boat, that doesn't help. According to that interpretation, you have to find every single piece. And therefore he says, I can't say forbidden, because there are those who say permitted, but I can't say permitted because there are those who say that's forbidden. Continue on this. Yosef Rav Chinna Bar Idi Kemeder Rav Ad Bar Ava. But Yosef Akama and Rav Chinna Bar Idi was saying the following halacha. It says, Oivid Kachav M'Shehivi Areva, an idol worshiper, a non-Jew that brought a small boat, Malei Chavi is full of barrels of fish. V'nimtzis Kilbas Ba'achzman, and the Kilbas fish is found in one of them, which we mentioned previous staff is the identifying feature that the fish must be kosher because they own the Kilbas fish, which itself is non-kosher, but only grows in the brine of kosher fish. So if one of the many barrels that there are, only one of them has the Kilbas, so he said as follows, if Besuchas, if all the barrels are open, so Kula Mataris, all the barrels we could assume are kosher fish, because just like the Kilbas is in this barrel, so then we could assume that it was in all the barrels, but just they left, the Kilbas fish jumped up. That's if the barrels are open. But Stumas, if the barrels are all closed, and you only find one of them having the Kilbas inside, so Himutas, so then the one that has the Kilbas inside must be the kosher, because the Kilbas does not grow in non-kosher. But the rest that don't have it, so then they're forbidden. On that, Amalei, on that, Rav Ada Bar Ava said back to Menolacha, where do you know this halacha from? So on that, Rav Chinna Bar Idi responded, "Mitlosei Kroy Shmili." I heard it from three psukim which what he means to say is from three great sages who they're sufficient to rely on, like as if it was an explicit verse in the Torah. And who are these three? The Mirav, Ushmul, Rabbi Yechonon. Continuing on this halacha, some of Breina Amar Rav, it says, Kirvei Dagim V'Ubarim, the intestines, and the roe, which are the eggs, which literally means say the fetus, the eggs of the fish, Einikhen Elam and Mumcha. So the intestinal fats, the fish fats, and the roe, the eggs of fish, one can only buy from a professional, whether it be in kashrus or whether it be in profession, where you want to make sure what you're getting, since you can't tell, that it's from kosher fish. Now that Rama Le'ula L'Rab Doistoy de Min Biri. He asked this Rab Doistoy, who's from this place Biri, says, wait a second. Midukama Rav, from this halacha that we just quoted, that Rav said, Kirvei Dagim V'Ubarim Einikhen Elam V'Namumcha, he says that, okay, you can only buy the intestines and the roe, the eggs of the fish, only from a professional. You want to make sure that it's kosher. Mechlal, but the inference is, the Dag Tomei Isle Uber. Obviously that you're saying that there are non-kosher fish that lay eggs too. If you're buying eggs, fish eggs, which you want to make sure it's kosher. Obviously, that's insinuating that non-kosher fish also have eggs. Vermini, but that seems to be contradictive in the following brisa. Dag tomei mashritz. A non-kosher fish gives birth to a child, like the way animals do. Dag tar matl beitzim. Kosher fish lays eggs, like birds do. So you see that only kosher fish have eggs. So what are you saying that you need to buy from a mumcha? Only kosher fish make eggs. So on that answered Rabbi Distai, Sami Mekanu Bar, and you're right, you have to delete from this text of Rav that you have to buy the eggs from a mumcha because it's only by kosher fish anyway. And that Omer B'Zeri says, Leite Sami, no, don't delete it. Because Tarvayu Matili Beitzim Nino. It's not true because non-kosher fish also have eggs. Ella, but rather, Zeh, by the kosher fish, after it lays the eggs, then Mashish Bachutz, then the egg then opens up, and in the sand of the water, the fish goes and comes out. But by the non-kosher fish, mashritz mebifnim. Then in the mother's womb, after the eggs were completed in the stomach, the fish itself is formed and comes out as a fish already in its mother's stomach, and then it comes out as a fish. So they both have eggs. It's just that the kosher fish lays the eggs on the outside, and the non-kosher fish lays the eggs in the inside. Now, so according to him, yes, so there are eggs, but as the Gemara, Lomali Mumcha, but why still, according to Rav, do you need to have a professional? Livdik Bisimanim. Why don't you check this identifying features of the egg itself to see if it's kosher? Kajitano learned the Braisa Kisimoni Beitzim, like the signs of the eggs, Kach Simoni Dagim, so too are the signs of the fish. So you see that just like the signs for fish, so too the signs for the eggs of the fish. That is the Gemara, Simoni Dagim, so Gedaitich. How can you compare the identifying features of its kosher of eggs to the identifying features of fish as if they're the same thing? But Simoni Dagim, Snapavikas Keskis Ksivbahu. The identifying features of fish, the Torah really tells us, is scales and fins. That's not something that eggs have. Ella rather clarifies the Gemara, which helps its question. Kisimoni Beitzim, like the identifying features of the eggs of kosher birds, which there are certain types of eggs that kosher birds lay. Kach simoni ubari dagim. So it's not kach simoni dagim. Kach simoni ubari dagim. That is the same way for the eggs of fish. Ve'elohin simoni beitzim. What are the signs of identifying features for kosher eggs of birds, which then will be the same signs for the eggs of kosher fish? Is kol shekoideres. It's any egg that narrows, where it goes, it's wide on one end, and then it narrows and comes to a tip at the other edge. Va'agulgalis, and it's round from its sides, where the sides are not wide, rather it's more flat and it's round, where, as the Gemara says, Reisha Echad Kad, where one end is wide, like a pitcher, the word kad is from like a kad, where it's wide from the bottom where it sits, V'Reisha Echad Kad, and the other end is pointy. Then, Torah, that's the sign of a kosher egg. Be'ez Reisha Echad, but if its two edges are pointy, U'Be'ez Reisha Echad, and both of its edges are wide, then Temeya, that's actually identifying feature of a non-kosher egg. And so too, another identifying feature is Chelman Mebachutz. If the yolk is on the outside, but Chelman Mebifnim, and the white part, the albumin, is on the inside, then Temeya, that's from a non-kosher egg. Chelman Mebachutz, but Chelman Mebifnim, well, but if the white part is on the outside and the yellow is on the inside, then Tar, that's an identifying feature of a kosher egg. So too, Chelban Mechelman Moravan Zebezef. Let's say the white and the yellow are mixed together. Zuhi Beitz HaSheretz, that's actually the sign of an egg of a sheretz, which, for example, of a toad or a lizard where they lay eggs, and then the halachic nafkamin of that is, if let's say it forms as a child inside the egg, and then there's a hole, then it will transmit tumah if someone touches it, as the Gemara says in Chul Nav Chav Chav Vav on the base. But one thing we see from this question is that the eggs themselves are identifying features. So why are you saying that you need a mumcha? Just check the eggs. Amar Rabbi says Kishin Emaychu. When you need a mumcha is when the egg is dissolved, where it doesn't have that hard shell which we're used to, like chicken eggs. It's just an egg, and if it dissolves, then you can't tell anymore the shape and these types of features, and then you would need to have a mumcha to know if it's coming from a kosher fish or not. Now the Gemara asks, Lub Destoy Dimin Biri. The first answer that the Gemara had given, when he answered, he said, you're right, delete from here the need for a mumcha, for checking for the eggs of fish, because he said that actually only the kosher fish lay eggs, and non-kosher fish don't lay eggs. On that, as the Gemara, as we continue to Amud Beis, but Vatanya, we learned the Braisa, which was supporting the other interpretation of the Gemara, Kisimoni Beitzim, Kach Simoni Ubar Dagim. Just like the signs of eggs, so too are the signs of the eggs of fish. So you see that we need that there are identifying features, meaning that there are kosher eggs and non-kosher eggs of fish. So why is it Sami Mekan Ubaran Shaldagim? Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Lav Terutza Metatzis Lav, didn't you really have to amend the Braisa? Because it didn't say the word Ubari Dagim, it said Kachsamani Dagim, which we said doesn't make sense. So you amended it to Ubari Dagim. It says the study, that's not difficult on me. Rather, amend it as follows. Kachsimani Kirve Dagim. So too are the signs, just like the signs of kosher eggs, of birds, which has certain shapes, so too you could identify the kosher intestines of fish. You could tell that it came from a kosher fish. It says, where do you find that intestines of a fish should be like a jug on one end and pointing the other end, which is how kosher eggs of birds look like, which is going to be the same shape of the intestines of a kosher fish? Which is the bladder of a fish, which is filled with air, which has that same type of a shape. That's the simon that we're saying is going to be the same as beitzim of the oif. But actually, of fish, you don't need to have simonim, as we said, because actually, according to Reb Destoy, the non-kosher fish do not lay any eggs. Now the Gemara asks, im ein shem mumcha mai? I mean, according to Rav, and if, let's say, the fish have dissolved, and there is no professional, so then what is halacha? What could one do to ascertain, to be able to eat that egg fish or not? Rabbi Yehuda says, if the seller says that I salted the fish and I saw that this came from a kosher fish and it's from them that I took out from their intestines, mutarin, then the eggs are going to be permitted where because you could believe him that it came from a kosher fish. Rav Nachman, he disagrees. He says, no, only until he says that these are their fish and these are their intestines, where he shows them the fish itself. But just by saying, I salted it, then he's not believed because maybe he's not so proficient and maybe it's actually not kosher. And I relay Rabbi Yehuda, Ada Dayala. Rabbi Yehuda showed and illustrated to Ada, the caterer, the waiter, who he would be hired to make a party and he would prepare the food, that kivin the amah, nimalachtim, if the seller says that I salted it, then mutarin, that's already permitted. Again, if there's no mumcha and it's dissolved and you can't tell the shape of the egg or of the intestines. Now the Mishnah said other items that are permitted when they're bought from a non-Jew is va'ala shel chiltis, the leaf of the chiltis. Although a previous Mishnah said the chiltis itself, which is a type of a grain, where since it's sharp, when they use the knife to cut it, then the blees of treifis might go into that. But the leaf itself, which is just pulled off, it's whole, that's permitted to be bought from non-Jews. So Sigmar Pshitas, obviously, what would be the problem of the leaf of the chiltis? So the Gemara le'nitzucha el kratan shabbat. Yeah, but the chiddush was only necessary for the grains on it. Meaning, if there are certain grains of it, of the chiltis that are attached to the leaf, or that fell into the vessel that was holding the leaves. Now, ma'od etem, what would you say, nechesh til ma'maisi, then maybe the non-Jewish seller actually brought other grains, which were cut with a knife, which that was the problem of the chiltis itself. Here, the leaf, we said, that's not usually cut, but what are these grains from? Maybe that the non-Jew brought them, attached them to the leaf, and were arav bay, and then mixed them together. Kamash Malan, that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. The ishtaruke hid the ishtaruk va'asabahada. That it fell from the leaf which was attached to it, and it fell into the vessel by itself, and it wasn't brought by the non-Jew, and we don't have to be concerned that maybe it was cut with a non-kosher knife, like we had in halacha of the chiltas itself. Mishnah continues and says, what's also permitted to buy from them and even consume are the olives that are like a round cake because of when they sit there and they become soft. So Gemara says, Pshita, obviously, what would be problematic with the olives themselves? So the Gemara, no, it's only necessary, avagav the rafi tuva, even though that they're very soft and they got rounded and they got really stuck together, where it's so soft that even the pits start coming out. What would you say that since it's so soft, who must have been, they put in some wine, and that's what softened it so much, because not from the juices of the olive itself. That's what the chiddush of the Mishnah is, that hani machmes mishchu deraf. No, it is from the oil of the olives themselves that made it soften, and therefore it's still going to be permitted. There's no chashash, no concern of anything not kosher in these olives. Now, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yisi, I'm a shlachan asur. And Rabbi Yisi said, but if the shlachan type of olives, then it's forbidden. Says Gemara, hechad mishlachan, what shlachan means from the word of sending out, which means say that as if the pits are like being sent out by themselves, as if they're slipping out already. That's how soft they are. Rabbi Yisi says, then there's olives are forbidden. What's that case? I'm Rabbi Yisi Barchanin. He says, so if you hold that olive in your hand, and the pit already slips out already, that's how soft it is, then Rabbi Yisi holds that if it's so soft, it has to be that they put in wine, and therefore it's going to be forbidden because the wine of a non-Jew is forbidden. The Mishnah continues to say, regarding grasshoppers, so if it came from the baskets that are in front of them, then it's forbidden. But if it came from the storehouses, then it's permitted. As the Braisa elaborates on this halacha, Trabon, when the Braisa, the grasshoppers, vakafrisin, and the husks of the caper tree, vakaflutais, and leeks, which are cooked, and they're preserved, and they're maintained. Now, there's no problem about bishalakim because they're eaten in a raw state. There's no problem about the taste of the non-kosher that it comes from the vessel that it's preserved in, because the taste that comes in gives a tam lefgam, gives a bad taste and not a tam leshvach. So there's no problem about kashrus on that end. So if they have boim in the oitzer, if they come from the storehouse or min haheftik, or from the place where they're gathered, where they get pressed together and they sit there one on top of the other, or min hasfina from the ship, which these are places where they kept for a long time, say mutar, and then they're permitted because they're not going to put in anything like wine or vinegar because that would ruin the taste if it sits there too long. But hanem karen bekat leiza. But if it's sold in the marketplace, lefnei chenvin, in front of the storekeeper, then asur, then it's forbidden because mnesha mezal fi ayin lein, then they pour wine in it because that makes it look good and juicy, if only if it's sold in the near future. So they're in front of them, we have to be concerned that the wine, and then you can't buy from it. But from long terms, they're not going to put it because that actually ruins the product. The same thing applies to the apple cider of the non-Jews. If it's from places where it's kept for a long period of times, like we said, from the storehouses and from the place where it's pressed together and from these types of containers, so then mutar, and then it's permitted because they're not going to add any wine. It's just the apple itself, the way it becomes acidic. But hanimka b'katleiza asa, but if it's sold in front of the storekeepers themselves, then in the marketplace, then asa, then forbidden neshma arvim b'yayin, because then they add some wine, which makes it more appetizing, and therefore that's forbidden because the wine of a non-Jew. Turn by Melinda Braisa, pam achas chosh Rebbe b'meiv. One time Rebbe had intestinal ailment. Amar, he said, klom yesh odim sheyedeh, does anybody know if yein tepuchim shalab dikachavim regarding the apple cider vinegar of non-Jews, asrei mutter, is it forbidden or permitted because it's good for the stomach? Question is it forbidden to buy from them or not? So Amalafon Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yisi says, Pamachas Chash Abba B'meyav, he said regarding his father Rabbi Yisi, one time he had this stomach ailment, and they brought him the apple cider of a non-Jew, which was 70 years already, and he drank it and he got healed. Amalai, so Rabbi said to him, Kol kachoy biyotcha, so much you had in your hand, v'atem tzareni, and you're paining me. This is what I needed to hear. I wanted to know if we could buy apple cider from non-Jews. So batku matzo evi kachav mecha. So they checked and they found that one non-Jew, shoyulei sholish meiz garvi yayin, that had 300 barrels of wine, shal tapuchim, of apples, meaning of apple cider, shal ayin shana, that was 70 years old, v'shasav nesrap, and he drank it and he was healed. Amar, so Rebbe said, Baruch HaMokim, blessed is Hashem, Shemastu Elam HaLashem, that he gives up his world to safeguard, to guardians, where this he was holding on to this great thing for all those years, so that I could be able to use it and be healed from my stomach problems. Now the Mishnah continued and says, V'chein L'Trumah. The Mishnah concluded and said that the halacha that we just said applies to Trumah too. Says the Gemara, my V'chein L'Trumah, what does it mean also for Trumah? Meaning what we said in the previous halacha of the Mishnah was in front of the storekeeper it's forbidden, but in the storehouse it's permitted, like we just mentioned before. What does that apply to Trumah? So Rav Sheshi says, V'chein L'Kayin. Same thing applies to a Kayin, HaChashed Limker Trumah, who suspected to sell Trumah, which you can't get so much money for because only it's a very limited market. You can only sell it for kahanim. L'shem chulin, that is, we suspect him that he takes truma and he sells it as if it's chulin, which then everyone could buy. So you have a larger market, which is forbidden because a zar that eats truma is chayiv misa. So l'fan of huda asa, it's only if he's right what he's selling in front of him that you're not allowed to buy from him. Avlabam min ha'itza, what comes from the storehouse, min ha'heftik, or from the place where they press one on the other, min ha'slula, and from the storehouses, then mutter, it's permitted. Why? And that's the same differentiation as in the previous halacha, because there are two same mirtas. He's afraid. Savei thinks, if I'm going to be selling from my storehouse, the whole warehouse is full of what I'm claiming to be chulin, and really it's truma. He thinks, shami birabanim of sadei lo minoy. So the rabbis are going to hear, and they're going to come and bust me by my warehouse. I'm going to lose the whole warehouse, and everything's going to get lost. So that he wouldn't do. He wouldn't sell a whole warehouse full of truma as if it's chulin. But in front of him, even if they bust me, so good, I'll lose just what's in front of me. That he is suspect of doing. And therefore, in front of him, one is not allowed to buy. That's similar to the halacha before regarding buying from them things which they might add wine from the non-Jews only in front of them. But in the warehouses, they wouldn't because it would ruin it for that long period of time, like the grasshoppers and all those things. And therefore, one could buy from them from the Eitzim. Hanulach Emamid, we shall return to the second paragraph of Sechetz of Adizara, Perak Emamidin. And with that, we begin the third paragraph of Sechetz of Adizara, Perak Kol Atzlam, which talks about, like the title itself, regarding a tzelem, an idol of an Avodizara. Says the Mishnah, Kol Atzlam Masurin, all idols are forbidden to have benefit from them. Because they're definitely served, meaning even if it's just a graven image, it's not necessarily, as we're going to see, if it's a Avodizara or not. But the first opinion of the Mishnah says, because if it's an idol, it's most definitely served once a year. That's the opinion of Meir, therefore it's forbidden to have benefit like avodah zarah. However, the sages say that no, eina aser, it's not forbidden to have benefit from an image that's carved out. Ela kol sheyesh b'yodei makal, only if the image has in its hand a stick, a tzipor or a bird, a kader or a ball, like a globe, which Gemara is going to explain because those type of images are most definitely served like a deity, like an avodah zarah, because of their chashivas. That's why they're holding these objects, which are signs of power, like holding a globe or a stick as if a ruler or a bird, which has superiority. Only those types of things. Now, Reb Shimon Gamliel, he says, "Av kol sheyesh b'yodei kol dav." He says that it has to have something in its hand, but whatever it has in its hand is also a sign that it's served, and therefore be forbidden to have benefit from it. Now, the Gemara asked regarding the opening halacha of the Mishnah. If it is the case that every tzelem, every graven image, is served at least once a year, so my time of the Rabbanon, what's the reason of the Rabbanon who disagree with him? In other words, from the fact that it doesn't say in the Mishnah that chacham oimim einin ebe, that the sages say, no, it's not necessarily served once a year, and only something it has in its hand, the inference sounds like that the Rabbanon hold that it is served. So, but still they disagree, and they say that's permitted, but why? So Amar Yitzchak bar Yosef, Rabbi Yechon says, because where a mayor lived, they would serve every image at least once a year. Now, but that was only where he lived. But Remeir, the Chayesh Lami Uta, but Remeir, who was always concerned, as we find throughout Shas, for minorities, Gazer Sharmer Kaimis Atu Isamakim, he made a decree on every place because, like the place where he was, although it's only minority of the world. Rabbanim, the Chayesh Lami Uta, but the Rabbanim, who are not concerned for minorities, like Gazer Shar Mekaymes Ato Isamakim, they did not make a decree that anywhere in the world where is the majority, that they don't necessarily serve it once a year, to say that's forbidden because you might come to permit in the place where they do serve it at least once a year. They didn't have that Gezerah, and therefore they said that everywhere else, where they don't serve every image once a year, it's permitted to have benefit from an image if it doesn't have in its hand one of those three objects. Now, the Gemara qualifies, Amar Rabbi Huda Meshmuel, he says, Bandarti shel malachim sheninu. The halacha of Mishnah was talking about an image of the king. Meaning, when the king would die, they would make his image by the entryway of the gate as a remembrance. It was over there where Meir said it's forbidden because since it's dear to them, therefore they bow down to it and they serve it like an avodah zarah. But just any regular image, that even according to Meir, is not necessarily going to be asur. Moreover, Amar Rabbi B'chanam Abiyachan, and he qualifies, it's uba imdin al pesach medina shenino. This was only said if that image of the king is by the entryway of the country, of the state. That's where a mayor said that's asa, because that's chashub. But if it's not necessarily by the entryway, even there it's not necessarily going to be asa, even if it's an image of the king. Moreover, the Gemara continues to have malaf malaf, and Omer Rabbah, he qualifies, says, machlekis bishal kafar. Whole machlekis in our Mishnah was only in villages. Al bishal krachim debiakal mutarim. But in cities, there, everyone's going to agree that the image, the statue of the king is going to be permitted. My time, what's the reason? They do it for beauty, for aesthetic purposes, and not necessarily to bow down to it. And therefore, even there, Reb Meir is going to say it's permitted. That has the Gemara. Is there anyone that says that in villages they make the statue of the king for beauty? What, you think the Rabbanan permitted over there? But the kfar mvadeh lemiflechina avdilu, but in villages they most definitely do it to bow down to it, because villages don't make anything for beauty. So how can you say that that's where the machlekes is, and that's Rabbanan say it's going to be permitted, but permitted is only a bit for beauty, and no one's going to say it's for beauty in villages? Rather, says the Gemara, a different version. Itmar, if you're going to say this qualification of Rabbah, hachi itmar, this is what he said. Amar Rabbah, he says the other way around. Machlekes b'shal karachim, the machlekes was by cities. That is a discussion in the city. Are they doing it for beauty, which that's Rabban hold, or no, are they doing it even in the cities to bow down to? That's Remeir hold. But in the villages, if you have a statue of the king, most definitely that's forbidden, because they're not doing anything for beauty. And if they have it there, obviously it's there to bow down to it, and therefore it's going to be forbidden to have any benefit from that statue, because it's considered like an avodah zarah, which it's forbidden to have enough of an avodah zarah.